Welcome to the Marble Falls ISD School Health Advisory Council. This Wednesday, November 17th, 2021, my name is Amber Clark, and I am co-chair for the SHAC committee. Let's go around with introductions at first, since we have quite a few new people. State your name, and if you are a parent and or Marble Falls employee, and your children's students' ages, if you have children, and what campus. My name is Amber Clark, like I said, the co-chair, and I have two children at Spicewood Elementary.
I'm Gina Coe, and I'm the counselor at Spicewood Elementary.
Nikki Pertino, kindergarten teacher at Spicewood Elementary, and I have two high schoolers.
I'm Chuck Honig, I'm a parent. I've got two sons, Josh at the middle school and Charlie at Colt.
Nathan Carey, I have a first grader at Marble Falls Elementary, an eighth grader at Marble Falls Middle School, and a junior at Marble Falls High School.
Candace Gross, I teach seventh grade science at Marble Falls Middle School and am the science department chair as well.
Yarna Leflett, I work in the curriculum and instruction department, and I have one eighth grader at Marble Falls Middle School.
I'm Stephanie Berry. I have one eighth grader at the middle school, and I also work in the CNI department.
My name is Luana Henderson, and we have three children. Two of them are high schoolers, and one is a middle schooler. I'm happy to be here.
Glenn Henderson. Same.
Casey Moss. I have a daughter that graduated last year, and a son that's a junior, and I'm a parent.
My name is Dwayne Teets. I'm the lead counselor at Marble Falls High School, and I've got four children, but lucky to have them all graduate high school already.
Heather Metzger, I work in the CNI department closely with the secondary schools, so middle school, high school, and Falls. And I have two kiddos, two boys, but my last one graduated last year.
Lana Ramsey, I'm the prevention coordinator for the domestic violence center here locally. No children in school.
Yeah, I'm Stennis Shots. I have a 37-year-old in LA. So I'm the president of the Pregnancy and Life Center here locally. So I would say community leader, I guess.
I'm Jen Hamblin. I have a freshman at the high school and a sixth grader at the middle school.
Emily Mendoza, I am the health science teacher at the high school. I do have a child, just not in this district yet. I don't know what we're doing yet with her.
I'm Liz Zamani. I'm the eighth grade, one of the eighth grade level up teachers. No children yet, but I'm engaged, so soon.
I'm Danny Schaefer. I have three children in the Marble Falls School District, one in high school, two in Colt Elementary. And then I'm also here on behalf of the community side, and
I'm
an assistant pastor at
Big
Church.
Hector Garcia, I'm a parent. I have a 7th grade daughter at middle school and a 10th grade daughter at the middle school.
Nick Mumma, parent. Have a three girls. One is 7th grade, one is a senior, and one is in Waco at college, so we're all girls. All our animals are girls.
I'm Amy Van Dorfey. I have one ninth grader at the high school.
I'm Caitlin Puckett. I'm the district social worker.
I'm Zila Shiner. I'm the SEL coordinator at the middle school, and I have a sixth grader at the same school.
I'm Leanne Harkins. I'm an administrator at Highland Lakes Elementary. My husband, Dusty Harkins, is also a part of this group, but he is ill. He's a community member and business owner. And I have several nieces and nephews at Marble Falls Elementary. My two boys have already graduated from Marble Falls.
I'm Stacy Lashford. I'm an assistant principal at Highland Lakes Elementary. I have three kiddos who graduated from Marble Falls.
Thank you. So what we'll do now is we'll briefly review last meeting. For those of you that were not at the last meeting, the purple folder that I gave you has the items from the last meeting. I also sent those to you, should have sent those to you by email. And then everybody should have picked up handouts for today. There were four handouts for today. So last time we called to order and we introduced each other. We did an overview of the required SHAC requirements. So if you missed missed the first meeting. That's what I sent you by email, and now you have it in print. We talked about voting of positions. The main position we needed to vote was secretary, in which Stephanie was willing, and everybody voted for her to be secretary. Then we talked about recruitment of additional members because we knew that we had some gaps in membership. In the past, our shack has been relatively small, so our goal was to increase shack, and we talked about having more recruitment coming into this month to then carry over for the school year. And then we did a quick, we saw a couple of little video on coordinated school health. If you access the presentation online and you were not at the first meeting, you can access the presentation online and see the link for that video. I did a COVID-19 update, and then we adjourned. And so just for clarification, for right now, membership is, we're full, except for that we still need two parent representatives who are not employees from Highland Lakes Elementary and one from Marble Falls Elementary. We do have, because of the requirements of recording meetings, we do have a couple people that are now on the fence, particularly with some of the news articles that have come out and that what we have to discuss. And so I have to post our membership list, but it probably won't happen until Friday until I hear back from a couple people that now just are not sure. A couple of those openings that we have where some people are not sure, there's already a backup for those. I do not have any backup for the two parents from Highland Lakes Elementary or the parent from Marble Falls Elementary. And so if you know somebody, we have an application online for shack membership if somebody's interested in applying. If somebody's interested and we're full, they should still put in that application because that's what we'll pull from as we have vacancies. Sometimes things come up and people can't serve anymore, and that's where we'll pull from. So, okay, that was the last meeting. You have the agenda for this meeting, and so the next thing is our discussion of bylaws, which Amber will take care of.
Okay, one of the handouts that were on the table over here is labeled School Health Advisory Council Bylaws. If you did not get it, you can pick it up on your way out. These need to be reviewed and voted on to adopt. It's a bit lengthy to read all together here in this meeting, so this is your homework to read over it. Email Yarda with any feedback, and we will vote on it next session, next meeting.
Yes. So we'll send a separate email out reminding you to provide feedback on this by December 3rd. That gives us time to review any changes, and this is just how we operate our shack. So next, on your name cards, if you're new, I'm gonna have you write something on the back of your name card. And so I'm gonna give you just a second real quick, and you're gonna write it in order, and then I'll tell you what we have so far, and then I'll, get when I get all your name cards at the end of the night, I'll tell everyone at the next meeting where we are. These are the different committees that we have for SHAC. And so if you're new, what I would like for you to do is pick the top three and put them in order. If you're really only interested in two, then just write two down. But put the top three, if you could, on what you're interested in. Like, what are you the most interested in? And I'll give you a second to do that. And after you do that, I'll tell you where all the membership from last time was. And then we'll talk next time about where we are. I'll tell you the top three from last time. If you wish to change yours, you can adjust yours if you were here last time. Everybody's almost done writing. So the top three from last time were actually, and not in order, because they were pretty much tied. The last three on here, human growth and development, social emotional on human growth and development, and we know that we're going to have some discussion on human growth and development. One thing just for you to know, we are required by law to have a subcommittee on physical activity and fitness. And so what we'll do is we'll split into some subcommittees. There are some people that are passionate about physical activity and fitness, but our prioritized areas this year, you know, human growth and development has to be a priority this year, and then we'll look at what everybody else has that they've turned in, and we'll progress from there. There are a lot of requirements for us. We can't get them all done in just a couple meetings. That's why we have subcommittees to do some of the work for us as we go through. So I'll collect your cards at the end of the night, and then that way I can look at what you have on there. There may be other times where I have you write something on your card for us to gather some feedback. Any questions so far? Okay.
Okay, so normally, if you'll just go on to the next slide, whoever's doing that. Normally when we select new curriculum for any subject, the TEKS are adopted at the state level, and then the state gives us a list of the approved curriculums. And then together we have a committee of teachers that usually teach that subject. Let's say if it's science, we're going to have science people that are going to review that curriculum. And that's kind of how we decide. During that time, we do have visual samples of materials that TEA provides us on the CNI website for any parent that wants to provide some input, they can. And then the board approves the materials and certifies that they meet the law when it comes to the TEKS. So that's how most curriculums are, the decision-making process goes. Do the next slide. So this one is a little bit different. There is board policy on how the human sexuality curriculum has to be selected with the district. And so the last time that it was selected was a few years back, prior to my fifth year here, and it was prior to me coming here. And we used to have Baylor, Scott, and White worth the weight, and then that morphed and changed into Baylor, Scott, and White human
wellness and sexual
wellness and sexual
health.
Sexual health. Thank you. I always forget the name of it. And it's about 10 lessons, or it can be 2 weeks. You can make it longer or shorter, but it's 10 lessons. And then those lessons we had to look at, those lessons with the TEKS and what do we want to teach, what do we have to teach because they're part of the TEKS, and what do we not want to teach because they're not a part of the TEKS, that type of thing. And so that's what we are currently using at the middle school. In 6th and 7th grade, we teach that in science, and in 8th grade, we teach it in a new class this year called Level Up, which is used to be C3s. If you've had kids go through the middle school, it encompasses a lot of different things. It was a semester course, now it's a year-long course. And so that is kind of how that works. And the parents have had an opportunity prior to this year to opt out of their child going through that curriculum, and they have an alternate assignment and that kind of thing. So this year there was new policy at the state level that was approved at the board meeting last night. Some of it is local, and that has to be voted upon by our school board. And then some of it's legal, and that's just we have to do it. And so the local policies that were approved last night is the board has to, there's a board policy that they adopt human sexuality materials and a resolution for SHAC to review those materials, SHAC and also a committee of teachers to review those materials. And so last night that resolution was passed. They have to pass that before SHAC ever can get involved to look at the options that we have, okay? So that was passed last night. It also said that we have to have two public meetings, which we will do in February and March, and we'll hold those at the high school where we have more room in case we have other community members and parents that want to come to those. SHAC, along with the committee of teachers, will review the materials and present the recommendation for the curriculum to the board that complies with the instructional content requirements. So the reason that's significant is that the health TEKS for next year at the state are changing, okay? So now there are things that we have to include in whatever curriculum we choose that are required, that were not required before. And we're going to go over what those, the major parts. There's a lot in the health teaks that have changed, but the controversial stuff, I would say, is the human sexuality stuff. Most of the other stuff is not super controversial. And so we will talk about that. And then the board will vote on whatever we recommend at a meeting in April. Now, legally, which is the next slide, I believe.
I clicked on my computer and not.
Okay. The new parent consent, which we used this year already, because we just finished this unit at the middle school in eighth grade. We have not yet done it in sixth and seventh grade. So we're using our current materials with Baylor, Scott, and White that we've been using, but those are changing. Because the TEKS are changing, they are revising their curriculum. So for two reasons, we have to adopt new curriculum. One, because the TEKS are changing, one, because our current materials are changing. But for right now, we use what we have. They have changed the sixth grade materials, but they don't have the seventh and eighth grade materials ready yet. So we're just using what we've been using for the past few years. In the past, we sent something out and it was an opt-out form. This year, the state is requiring that we do an opt-in form. And so we sent that out electronically multiple times at the middle school for parents to opt in. And then if we didn't get responses, the teachers sent emails on their own. They made phone calls trying to get as many people to complete that as possible. We had an opt-out in there, but basically, if you didn't fill out the form, then you were opting out because you had to opt in. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we had, we have nearly 300 eighth graders, I would say. We had about eight parents that specifically said, I'm opting my child out. And there were about 35 or 40 that just didn't answer, so we just pulled them out. Okay? The rest, about 250, opted in. Just a little background. And then the ISD must post the proposed and adopted materials with an option for the parent to purchase the copyrighted material. So this was, like, we had some parents this year, we told them when we sent out the opt-in form that if they would like to come up to the school and review the material, that they could do that. We had some parents say, well, can't you just email them to us? Well, no, we can't. They're copyrighted. I can't make copies of them. I can't put them online. They're copyrighted materials, but you are welcome to make an appointment and come up. And we had a few parents that did that. Most of the parents that did that and looked at that, they decided to let their child go ahead and participate. There are, in that particular, those 10 lessons, there was one lesson on contraception. Contraception was not a required TEK in the past, and so we just pulled that this year, and we just had 9 lessons. Like, we didn't even put that in there because it wasn't a part of the law. And so that's kind of what has happened in the past. Does anybody have any questions about that so far? We are going to talk about old TEKS and new TEKS in a little bit. So if you have something about that, just wait, because I'm going to get to it.
I think one additional part about the SHAC meetings is that our SHAC meetings run now more like school board meetings. So in addition to us posting the agendas 72 hours in advance, and having to post meeting minutes and recordings within so many days after the meetings, we do have to allow for public comment at our meetings. And so at the next meeting in December, it may be that somebody shows up that wishes to make public comment. So the agenda will start to have a little item on there that does state public comment, which is separate from what Ms. Metzger is referring to, the public meetings, the public forum meetings that we have to have in regards to the sexuality curriculum. So as you heard, Ms. Metzger was talking about the TEKS, and so what we thought, some of you are school people and some of you are not school people, so we thought we'd just give you a quick rundown so that you understood the required curriculum. So the required curriculum from the state of Texas is called the TEKS, the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills. And the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills really is what students are supposed to learn and be able to do for each grade level. The standards are adopted by the State Board of Education. And so there's lots of input that happens. So when they do new math standards, they bring in all of these math experts. They call in math teachers from across the state. They look at the math standards. They figure out how they want to revise the math standards. And then recommendations come to the State Board of Education, and the state board most of the time approves them. I'll tell you some of the most controversial things it goes through would be phonics instruction. Lots of discussion when the state board is adopting ELA standards, and then health and wellness. And not just the human sexuality component, but just the, even the discussion of nutrition, physical activity, mental health, lots of discussion. And so the State Board of Education is who approved the new health and wellness TEKS. Now, one thing to keep in mind, the State Board of Education is always meeting. So even though right now, as we talk today, and as we start to study the health and wellness TEKS, keep in mind that at any time, the State Board of Education could meet, and even though they've already approved these for implementation next year, they could decide to vote and make a change. That happens rarely, but it has happened before. So why is the state curriculum, why are the TEKS non-negotiable? Why do all teachers have to teach them? Well, one, it's the law that all teachers teach the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills. Two, it assures equity. No matter where you live in Texas, no matter where you go to public school, we guarantee that your kid will have the opportunity to learn this at this grade. And so it provides a rational system. You know, our teachers are not... they're not subcontractors that just get to just decide to go about doing it however which way they want. And so it provides, this is how we need to follow things and how we should go about, this is the content that we would like to see. It reduces gaps and unproductive redundancies. If every second grade teacher got to just, or school got to pick what math concepts they did in second grade, it's possible then those third grade teachers would think that the kids need those same ones taught also. Kids might not ever progress in skills because if everybody just gets to decide what they do, then we don't have the alignment for the progression of skills. It also does help to reduce and refocus teacher planning time. Teachers know this is what we're going to have to look at, this is what we're going to have to teach, and they can focus more closely on their planning time. They know what to teach, and they can talk more about how they're teaching instead of fighting out what we teach. And I bring up math just because I've been in a room of elementary math teachers discussing math concepts. And it is quite, there are lots of different points of view on, Heather's been in a room too, elementary math teachers, lots of discussion on numeracy and different other aspects of math. Problems? The TEKS are, there's not a timeline. So they don't say you should teach this in August and this in October and this in December. And so even though we have what we have, each district does put those on a timeline. Now, it might be easy for a subject like math. There's a progression. You have to learn one digit, you know, tens, decimals before one digit numbers, before two digit numbers, before, but it's not like that necessarily in every area. And so that's where districts come together and meet to be able to put it on a timeline. Also, sometimes it's not specific enough, and that's what I was going to talk about next, is that what you'll see when we go to study this TEKS is sometimes there's the word including and sometimes such as. Anywhere there's the word including, we have to teach it. Anywhere there's such as, it's giving you examples. Now, I'll tell you, if you're in a STAR-tested subject and grade, sometimes the things on the such as show up on the test because they're giving you examples, but you're not required to do those. Those are... And so I have just some examples for you here. Fourth grade math, you'll see it talks about number and operations. That's the strand that we have. And then down below, they always start, the student is expected to represent decimals, including, and then all that stuff after there we have to teach. Fourth grade science, the student is expected to measure, compare, and contrast physical properties of matter, including, and then we have to make sure and do all that. And even though, you know, they may not be tested on a state assessment for fourth grade science, this is foundation concepts for the higher grades for science. This one, I picked this one out because this is just one of my favorite ones. It has both, including and such as. So I forgot to put the rest of red there. But including, so look at all of those tools, including, this is fourth grade science. Those are a lot of tools that we have to have in a fourth grade science classroom, they do. And then it says, all for them to be able to support observation and habitats, such as terrariums and aquariums. Well, we don't even have to do terrariums and else. As long as they're using all of those tools to observe habitats of organisms. And so for there's another such as that deals with recycling. Here's an including. Social studies is one of the fascinating subjects to look at the difference between including and such as. What is the most fascinating about social studies, if you look at the verbs for the student expectations, so they have to analyze, on this one they're having to analyze. Are they having to just know? What are they exactly having to do? But on this one, if you look, analyze the causes, events, and effects of the Texas Revolution, including all of those specific things. So the social studies teachers must go through those causes, major events and effects of all of those different, Battle of the Alamo, Declaration of Independence, all of that. This one, such as, and there's a whole bunch of people's names. So summarize significant contributions of individuals such as, and then there's a list of names as examples. But there are plenty in social studies where instead of such as right here, let's say including, and then there are 10 or 15 names followed afterwards. And so that's just for us to know as we look through and for us to keep in mind. So if it says including, Heather's going to share some stuff in a little bit. If it says including, right, as you're studying for the next meeting, we have to do everything that's listed there. If it says such as, it's giving us examples. So where can I find TEKS? I'll post the PowerPoint on the website and you can click. But if you just Google TEA TEKS, you can click on the website, it comes up, you can see the TEKS for all the subject areas. These are the standards for every subject area. Are there TEKS for every subject area? Yes, there are TEKS for every subject area, except in some of our advanced classes, AP for instance. So the state of Texas doesn't say that these are the standards for AP statistics. The College Board states this is what you will teach in AP statistics. So if you were to click on these, the first one is where you could drill down to AP statistics and it refers you to the College Board. The second one is the AP statistics page for the College Board, and if you click on the one thing that's a course description, it's over 250 pages. And so the TEKS, there are some just some specialized areas like advanced placement, dual credit. We teach what the college teaches. And then there are, our innovative courses have standards that come from the state when they're approved. And so we have standards for all for our courses, and you can reference all of them. So we'll start our study of the health TEKS this evening, but there's a little bit of background information that I was going to give you before we move forward, and then Heather will give you some even more detail as we go through. So before the TEKS were even revised for the health and wellness, if you look here, the State Board of Education, what they did is they charged the Commissioner of Education for Texas to do a study on current research and other state standards, national best practice that could be used as a guide for the State Board of Education to then know and be able to use, and for the Committee of Educators and experts to use as they went through the revision and development of the TEKS. You have that document with you. It's not going to be required reading for next time, but you have it with you to use as a baseline and a reference for if you're wanting to know, well, is this interesting, I'm interested in this, was it best practice? You can see the commissioner's study, but then the committees used as a basis for then as they went through the TEKS. And that's really what he was asked to summarize, statutory requirements that were related to health education. There's a chart in that packet that's very helpful. He was asked to develop a framework for what the strands should look like, and so that's within there too. And then grade level and band distinctions. And then appropriate methods for integrating. So this was a study that was commissioned before the group could meet to revise the TEKS. Different group of people, okay? Experts and studying, different group of people, then different group of educators and additional experts. And so you can, you have the packet there, and then if you go to the Health TEKS website, it's also on there. I'll have a link for you for it. And they gave final approval while we were in the middle of COVID. So November 20th, 2020, they gave final approval. And you're going to start to see more in the news about the Health TEKS because it happened right in the midst of one of our busiest times for COVID. State Board of Education approved. And then now some people are starting to talk, wait a minute, wait a second, they got the new teats? And so you'll start to see some news articles popping up.
So when you look at this packet that you have are the new health teats. Okay, so you've got that. We're going to go through a few things quickly, just because this is something that we do want you to read before our next meeting. Is that what we decided, Jordan?
Yes. Okay. And I know it's large, but then it will get us all the background information.
Yeah. All right. And so basically in the TEKS, there's an introductory part of the TEKS that just basically says that districts are required to implement the TEKS. It also talks about that the Commissioner of Education determines the instructional materials that could be made available and that there's a funding available. So very, very low. In here, it has every set of TEKS for every course, it's got an introductory section. So this is the introductory section for health, and it's for kindergarten. But it's very clear about the goal of health education. Provide instruction that allows youth to develop and sustain health-promoting behaviors throughout their life. It says more, but it's very clear about what the goal is. Okay? And then it talks about there being five strands. So within the TEKS, there's strands, and then there's student expectations. For the health TEKS, the five strands, they have it split up. They have kindergarten through grade 3, and then grades 4 and 5, and then they have grades 6 through 8. Well, there's 6th and 7th and 8th combined, and then there's high school. And so within that, there's five strands. There's physical health and hygiene. There's mental health and wellness. There's healthy eating and physical activity. There's injury and violence prevention and safety. And then alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. And so these are the new TEKS. They did not provide us. You can look up what the current TEKS are if you wanted to online. They did not provide us a crosswalk of what's changed. So you'll see, because I thought I might get questions at the board meeting last night. I had gone through the old TEKS and the new TEKS and flagged things, and really when it came to human sexuality, because that's the most controversial part of the TEKS, tried to figure out what's new, what's changed, and that kind of thing, because I anticipated I could get some questions last night. But it was good that I did that, because now I can talk about it here. But those are the five strands. And then, so this just talks about the first strand, physical health and hygiene. This is in your TEKS, so I'm not going to read all of this. The next strand, mental health and wellness, and it talks specifically what that means. The next strand, healthy eating and physical activity. Injury and violence prevention and safety, and then alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. Okay. She's already talked about including such as. And then this is the goal of health education in grades 4. And then there's 6 strands in grades 4 and higher. Okay, 4 and higher. Physical health and hygiene, mental health and wellness, healthy eating and physical activity, injury and violence prevention and safety, alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, and reproductive and sexual health. So you see where that 6th strand is added there when you get to 4th grade. 4th grade, physical health and hygiene, the mental, yeah, I just talked through that. Okay. So beginning in 4th grade, and I have some slides that give some specifics here in a minute, is when they have added in reproductive and sexual health. Okay. Also in 4th grade, talking about a little bit of the law when it comes to health education and the awareness of the teachers and what's required for human sexuality.
Can I ask a question really quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if something's stricken, is that...
No. What you have, I believe, is the final version. This went through several revisions at the state level, and so probably what was stricken there was in one of the earlier revisions.
Okay.
It's funny that you say that, because when I first got it, my copy that I downloaded, everything that's stricken is in red. And so I was thinking what was stricken was the old TEKS, and then I started looking at it more clearly, and I was like,
it's
This is just a revision. So that's when I had to go through and really compare them side to side and try to figure that out. And I'd done that for secondary, but I hadn't really done that for elementary because my role in the district deals with secondary, doesn't deal with elementary. So I went back through and did it with elementary as well. Okay, I am going to kind of go zoom through these. The goal of education, essential skills and competencies. Okay, so these are the major changes. These are the slides that I will go on. And these are the major changes. In fourth grade, these are things that have been added that really were not addressed before. Now, I'm not going to say that some of these things weren't talked about in generally when they have like fourth and fifth grade talks. I think they just do they do fifth grade. Fifth grade talks only at the elementary. But, and so some of these things they could have alluded to when the nurse had the talk with the kids, but they may or may not have been specifically required. Now they're these things are specifically required. Reproductive and sexual health in fourth grade, that includes anatomy, puberty and reproduction, changes in male and females during puberty, and defining the menstrual cycle. This is so much fun. I feel like the science teacher getting part of it. Okay. And then somebody texted me. Well, we're recording. Okay. So fifth grade. These are additions. Body systems, including reproductive, endocrine, and urinary systems. Healthy dating and romantic relationships. So before it had healthy dating relationships, or it didn't have the word romantic in there. That's new. Personal safety, limits, and boundaries. Sexual harassment, abuse, assault, and trafficking. Anatomy, puberty, reproduction, pregnancy, fertilization, healthy fetal development. Describe the process of the menstrual cycle, hormones, growth and development of the secondary sex characteristics, body hair, voice change for boys, and physical, social, and emotional changes during puberty. So those are the things that I think there were probably some of these things like hormones, growth and development, that type of thing they were already doing, but now like there's more that's required. Okay, sixth grade. So sixth grade, these are added. Social emotional impacts of sexual harassment, abuse, assault, and trafficking. Healthy dating and romantic, again that word romantic, relationships and boundaries. Boundaries and refusal skills. Anatomy, puberty, reproduction, and pregnancy. Teen pregnancy, possible outcome for sexual activity. Still in the sixth grade TEKS, there's an emphasis on abstinence. So just know that, that's still in the teeth. Okay, seventh and eighth. Okay, so in seventh and eighth, those additions that I just talked about in sixth grade, they're also added to seventh and eighth grade. But in addition to that, there's these things. They've always talked about STDs. That's been a part of the TEKS, but now, they have added these, and it says including. So it's not such as, it says including. HPV, chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, and I don't even know how to say the last one.
Trichomoniasis.
Okay, there you go. All my nurses or doctors or okay, analyze the effectiveness and the risks and failure rates of barrier protection and other contraceptive methods in the prevention of STDs and STIs in pregnancy. This was the big one that there's a lot of controversy over that we have not included, but now it's by law. Now it's in the TEKS that we have to teach it. However, parents still will have the option to opt in, which means they can opt out when we go that route. But we can't, whatever curriculum that we decide on and recommend, it has to have that in that because it's part of law. Okay, and then it talks about explaining HPV, that's fun, and then describe legal aspects of sexual activity with a minor, including statutory rape, aggravated sexual assault, sexual abuse, and indecency with a child. Still in the TEKS written, there is still an emphasis on abstinence. So just know that, and you'll see that. There may be three or four student expectations specific on abstinence in in the teeth. That'll still be taught. I'm just saying what's changed. Okay. Are there any questions?
Can I ask?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a specific opt-in out for all the lessons, or is it just all or none?
We did not do that this year because that, that would be a logistical nightmare for the teachers.
Agreed.
To go through every single day and say, okay, this day this kid can do it, this
right.
day this kid can't do it, this day this kid. And so I just said, no, we're going to do all or none. You either opt in or you opt out.
Sure.
That's what we chose to do.
A law was written, parents opt in to the human sexuality instruction. So what you have here is you have the version that's posted on the TEA website of the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills for the Health and Home for Health Education. So just like you noticed earlier in regards to this, if you look at the version of this that is online, you'll see that it has red in it and it has cross-outs. So what happened is these were brought to the state board numerous times and kicked back for revisions. This is the version that they did their final approval on. Anything that's in red that was added, they added at that November meeting when they then approved. And so things that were added were things that didn't necessarily come from the committee to be added, but they added at that last meeting that were not on the previous version that they had brought forward. There's not a nice clean version that TEA has posted yet, but we have to do our work so that, you know, we have teachers that we need to send to go bring back some of the materials to us. We have a lot of work to do. We have a couple forms to do. We need to get started, and we can't wait for them to post a clean version. You should be able to read through this version just fine.
Just so you know, like our current materials that we're using at the middle school from Baylor Scott and White, they only offer a training for teachers once in a blue moon. And so like this year, they offered one during the summer. Well, I didn't want to send a teacher in the summer because we didn't yet have everybody in place of who's teaching what. And so they had one in October. And so Liz and Candace both went to that one. They don't have the 7th and 8th grade completely finished yet, but they were able to see what the 6th grade looks like. And the digital availability for teachers now, because right now it's like a 6th grade notebook, a 7th grade notebook, an 8th grade notebook, and they have like a CD, which most computers don't even have a CD drive anymore, and like you can just print off the things. And so they did totally make it more technology friendly and more interactive. But there will be other curriculums that we will want teachers to go to a training and give us some feedback on as well.
So for your information on this document, we are focusing on K-8. We don't have the high school health class in our high school. And so K-8 will take you to page 43. You're more than welcome to read 44 to the end, but we currently do not have a high school health class. There's more than one in here. And so our focus is on the required TEKS for health education for K-8. That's our focus right now.
It's not required that you have a health class in high school. If you do have a health class in high school, then you have to teach these TEKS. But it's not required that you have a health class in high school.
Yes, and teach these TEKS as well as many other legal requirements that are required to go into a high school health class. So through page 43 is what we would like you to become familiar with. This is your copy. You can write all over it, mark all over it, anything. If you prefer to work digitally, just make sure, you know, when you go to the TEKS website, if you click on health education, some old ones will show up. You need to click on review. I'll tell you what, in my follow-up email, I'll send you the exact link to this. Or if you prefer to work digitally off a PDF and highlight digitally, then you're able to do that. And so that some people prefer, and then you can see the reds, but the reds are not the difference between the old and the new. The reds are the difference between the last State Board of Education meeting and the meeting where they did the final adoption. You can see at the top there is the clause that this is the version that was adopted at the meeting, but that the Texas Register people still have their final formatting to do before then they file it in there. And that's where if you'll go and click on Math TEKS or Science TEKS, you can see how it will eventually show up on the website. It right now you have two pieces of homework. Read the teaks so that we can start to engage in conversation at the next meeting. And that way we all have background knowledge, we're able to engage in conversation. And then the second piece of homework is reading the bylaws. I did, you remember Heather went over that there are strands. And so that's something to keep in mind that could help you as you're reading each. It's just, you know, there is the strand on physical activity, or there is the strand on mental health. There is the strand then on the grade four is where you'll see that six strands come in. Okay, on reproductive and sexual education. And so that's grade four when it comes in, and then it expands as we go up. And you can see where the State Board of Education added some things, or they revised some things at that November 20th meeting. At each meeting, do you all have any questions about the format of that, or you're good? I know it's a lot of reading, but we don't want to have a 3-hour meeting going through learning everything. I figured you'd prefer to kind of learn on your own. You could jot down questions, and then we come for discussion. I normally give you a COVID update each time, and so some of this is information that I shared with you last time. Where we are right now, we're at 447 cases since the start of the school year, so that's 447 that we've had, that staff and students. I don't have it broken out. We're continuing to see spread, particularly when a person in the house is positive. This week we had a grandparent that was positive, and now every single person that's in that house has ended up being positive. That's where we're seeing more spread. We're not seeing as many positive cases as we saw right at the very start of school. We're seeing more cases of RSV, strep throat, and flu. Flu's starting to pop up a little bit. We have a lot of people with allergies. Don't forget, though, we continue to rapid COVID test for free. We have a testing center right here open from 8:30 to 10:30 every day for all students and staff. It's drive up. You don't have to have an appointment. If you want to know Monday through Friday when we have school, if you think your kid might be positive or you just want to get it checked out, I tell you what I do. My kid's pediatrician is still in San Marcos. I go through there before I call to try to get into San Marcos because I don't want to drive an hour and a half in the car with him and then have him be positive and it turns out that that's really what was wrong with him. And so, you know, some of the pediatricians and some of the doctors in the area will recommend that you get a test before they'll let you do an appointment. And so you can do a test here for free. Just bring your kid, 8:30 to 10:30. They have to have a parent with them. So even an 18-year-old high school senior can't just drive over here and do it himself. Still lives in his parents' house. We still require the parent permission for it. The school nurses still are able to test, but they're only testing if they're sending home a kid sick, and then they offer it to the parent. And so the nurses, it was difficult to run their clinics and test everybody who possibly wanted tested. They were doing curbside while running their clinics, while all at the start of the year. And so that's why we reopened the testing center here. Every morning you can come. Nurses will ask a parent if they're sending the kid home sick, if they would like. And when the parent gets there, they sign the permission form, and then they administer the rapid test. We are part of the state rapid testing program, just so you know. We're very fortunate. We got on it early. We've been on it for over a year. Just as a reminder, there's no doctor note for students to return to school. However, there's a doctor note if your kid is in extracurricular activities. And we require if they're in athletics, there's a return to play form that a doctor has to fill out. And then they have a graduated return to athletic play. That's for 6th through 12th grade. The doctors are doing a great job in completing forms and monitoring students. And then we do require doctor clearance for positive employees to return to work. Part of that deals with how we work with our leave. And then we, of course, want to make sure people are cleared before they're working with children. We still have to report to TEA and DSHS weekly, just so you know. We still complete reports to them on our cases. Just so another additional information you may hear, there was all this hubbub about how public schools don't have to contact trace anymore. We actually do minimal tracing. We do that on purpose. So some school districts, yes, they are not doing any tracing. We're still doing tracing. Our assistant principals, Ms. Lashbrook, is the one here from Highland Lakes Elementary. We have a positive at Highland Lakes Elementary. She collects the seating charts. She figures out where the kid went that day. And then we know that if we have a couple more cases bubble up, she's like, hey, Yarna, there's two kids that were sitting beside this kid. And then we're able to kind of nip some things pretty quick. We have a mass spreadsheet where we track our cases from the secondary level for classrooms. We can tell if there's more than one case in a classroom, if we think there's spread. So even though technically we're not required to do tracing, we're doing tracing for our own good to be able to keep our kids healthy and keep our schools open. And we also are sending the notification letters still that is required of us for positive cases. And sometimes they are different depending on the situation. If we have a volunteer that's in a classroom and they're only in a classroom for 10 minutes, that elementary classroom letter is going to look different than if it was a student in the classroom that's been there all day with all the kids for 7 hours. And so vaccinations, we're working. I sent out all the emails last year. You know, people ask me, they'll say, Yarda, you know, do you have the master list of everybody who's vaccinated? No, I don't. Like, I help match people to get vaccines. Yarda did not keep a master employee list of who got their vaccine or not. The providers did not have to tell me if people showed up or not. Some people were like, yay, I got mine, or this or that, and they responded to me, and great, yay, but I didn't write your name on a spreadsheet. And so HR deals with that if we have a situation where they have to provide proof of vaccination, or our nurses deal with that if we have an issue at the school and we need to see proof of vaccination on a kid to determine something. But there is no master, Yarda does not have a master spreadsheet. So right now, I sent out something asking who might be wanting a booster or who now is interested in initial. I have that, trying to work to match people with locations. And then we are going to send out a communication on the same line for if there is anybody who wishes to have their children vaccinated. We've not sent out one yet for 5+. Just to see who's interested. One of the advantages is if people are interested, like when the 12 plus came out, one of the things that I was able to do is we were able to coordinate with Baylor Scott and White, where parents who wanted the vaccination didn't have to go through all the red tape. They were able to just tell me they were interested, gave me the stuff, I put it on a spreadsheet for Baylor Scott and White, and they got to just show up. Otherwise, you have to go through the system and register and type in all of these different things. And so what we're looking at is if there's enough interest, then if Baylor Scott & White or another provider could do some hours again, and then we can help cut a bunch of the red tape and just get where they can take their kid and they're signed up. Marble Falls ISD does not require vaccinations for any of our staff or any of our students, but we do want to just help people to link up if they are interested. And so we're working, you might see a communication on that, and purely just people who are interested, they respond to the form, and then we see what we can do. So our next tasks, our next meeting will probably need to go until 6:00. I know that some of you have church, and so I know that some of you will need to leave early. We'll try to get everything done as quickly as possible to be able to wrap up. We want to honor everybody's time and be done on time, but we also want to keep in mind that we only have a limited amount of time to get quite a bit of work done. And so our next meeting will go from 4:30 to 6.
And we don't have a January meeting.
We don't have a January meeting. And so we'll judge in December if we need to have some subcommittees in January or if we need to adjust something. We will we'll figure that out in December. And so if we spend an hour and a half in December, if you have to leave early to be able to take care of some things at church or get your kids somewhere, come for as long as you can come. If you can only come 4:30 to 5:30, come 4:30 to 5:30. We would like for you to come for the whole meeting, but if you can only come for a part of it, or if you have to leave 10 minutes early, we still would like you to come. At the next meeting, we'll have an in-depth discussion, so more study of the health and wellness TEKS. Much different format than today where you're being asked to study. You should be prepared to be able to engage in discussion around them. We will have some focused discussion questions. We will probably have some other things happen. We weren't sure, just so you know, if the board was gonna approve the resolution last night or in December. I mean, Monday night or December. And so since they approved the resolution Monday night, we're able to go into more discussion at our next meeting. Than we would have been able to, because before we would have had to slow down some of the information you received tonight if they waited until December to do the resolution. And so we're able to move a little faster, which is going to save us some time and progress us to just have some deeper look at things. So your homework, read the draft bylaws. It's really just how we function as a meeting. I'll send you an email. I'd like your feedback by December 3rd. Then read the health education teaks. Remember through page 43, I believe is what I said, through eighth grade. You can always read the high school if you wish. That's up to you. And then if you wish to read, you could read the health teak study recommendations. That's not required. That just could build some more of your background knowledge. Some of the charts in the packet are very informative and helpful. And so that's what I've heard from some other people. You know, Ms. Metzger and I have been around for a while, so the stuff in the charts, like, we know them. I think it's really neat how they organized it. I'm fascinated by that. But some people I've talked to who have come across this document are fascinated by the charts because they actually didn't know that we were required in Texas public schools to cover much of what's on there. And so that's for if you wish to read it. That is, this is just showing our future meeting dates and that if we eventually have to have subcommittee meetings, that we may need to have some subcommittee meetings. Are there any questions before we adjourn for any of us, for Ms. Metzger, Amber Clark, for myself? We really appreciate you coming. I think there are a couple more people that might join us in December that were absent today. We have some people that didn't feel well and they didn't want to show up to a large meeting not feeling very well, and I'm very glad that they chose not to. I'd rather you stay home if you're not feeling well than come to the meeting not feeling well. And so, Amber, I'm not sure what time it is. Would you like to adjourn?
Yes. It's 5:34, meeting adjourned.